Welcome to the Heartbreak Kids Podcast, where we explore what connects us all in our yoga practice and in our lives. This is where I talk to people about their stories, who they are, what they've been through, and where they're going. And in this podcast, that's what we explore. I believe deep down inside, we're all connected, which explains why we bring ourselves to the top of our mat every day. Welcome to the Heartbreak Kids. So welcome to the next edition of the Heartbreak Kids. I'm here with Sarah Temby, and Sarah's from Michigan. And I don't know, maybe 3 years ago, you showed up at one of the workshops at one of the studios in Ann Arbor. And, you know, like slowly, like you became like a student. Mm-hmm. It's been really pretty powerful to see. And so I want to welcome you onto the show today, and I appreciate you being on.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
so you. Let's talk a little bit about like your story and kind of we could talk about how like we kind of met a little bit later on. But where are you from, Michigan?
No, I'm from East Coast. Okay. Actually, New Jersey. Spend a lot of time in Maryland. And when I was about 15, I moved out to Salt Lake City.
Okay. How long did you live there?
I lived in Salt Lake for about 5 years, and then I moved to Seattle.
Okay.
And then I moved back to Salt Lake City, and eventually...
So have you ever had a home base?
No. Yeah. No. When people ask me where I'm from, I have like an identity crisis.
Okay.
So...
You're like not sure where to...
I'm not sure. I've been in Michigan for about 12 years, so okay. It's home now.
Got it.
But I have a lot of family still in like New York City, so that's a home.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is a home.
And so where'd you go to high school at?
Maryland and Salt Lake City.
Okay.
So.
Cool.
Yeah. I went to a lot of schools.
It sounds like it.
Yeah.
Jeez. Like, were you moving as you were like a teenager or what?
Yeah. Yeah. So I spent, I moved a lot. So probably every five to 10 years, I would move schools and stuff.
Was your dad like in the military or something?
No, he was a businessman. He was like he worked in the newspaper agencies, like publisher and editor, and the newspapers are all owned by larger companies, and they own newspapers all around the country.
Right.
So he would get moved, you know, whenever they needed his help.
So he was a journalist or
no,
he worked in the business side of it?
He was like a general manager type of thing.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
You do that stuff too, or?
I'm more of a finance world.
Okay.
Yeah. So I do accounting right now.
You got a math mind?
I do. Yeah. I tried to deny it.
Do QuickBooks for a living?
Yeah. I do QuickBooks for a living.
Awesome. I mean, I do it with the yoga studio and it's like, oh my God. Actually, it's quite easy to use, but it's just like cumbersome, I guess.
I'm a nerd. It's one of my favorite things. Like when I want to be antisocial, I just start reconciling all the accounts.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course. Well, and so tell me a little bit about who Sarah was, like, you know, kind of before you found yoga.
Okay. Like, I think...
Who is this person?
I think I'm on version 3.
Version 3?
Yeah.
All right. So share version 1 on me, okay. With me.
Version 1 grew up in many places, right? So yeah. I think started off in the East Coast and then age 15, moved to Utah. And I grew up kind of angry.
Why?
I'm not sure why. I think, you know, everybody has, you know, childhood things and whatever. So I grew up angry. And by the time I got to Utah, I felt I was just angry in general. And so I rebelled pretty hard. And
I mean, could you pinpoint like what the anger was about?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I know what it is.
Okay.
I love my family, but nobody has a perfect family. And so,
it's
impossible to have a perfect family. Yeah. So, you know, childhood issues aside, I think I felt neglected, or never quite loved enough or something. I don't know. So, so I grew up angry and I rebelled. And, by the time I was 18, I was kicked out of my house.
Wow.
Yep.
I mean, how, like you say rebel, but what does that actually mean?
I was of a particular religion that had a lot of strict rules.
Okay.
Which and
religion?
Mormon.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I didn't want to be Mormon even from a very young age. I just, it didn't click with me. So I would avoid going to church by saying I had like diarrhea or a headache every Sunday.
It's magic to have that every Sunday.
I know. So, so in my teenage years, I started getting tattooed as a way to show everybody that I wasn't part of this community.
Got it. And you know, it's funny too, because like you said that you're like in accounting, but like, you know, I was like, oh, but she's creative. Like, look at all these tattoos all over her too.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
And you rebelled with all of this, like religion stuff through tattoos?
Yep. Yep. And Utah's a weird place. It's a really weird place. I think because of the mix between religion and society and the whole culture. So a lot of people out there are heavily tattooed. Yeah. A lot.
I mean, and everything closes by 8 p.m. I'm like, what is happening here?
Yeah, but it's a beautiful place. So I didn't, I still wanted to be, you know, I don't know. I didn't rebel into drugs and alcohol. I rebelled into tattoos.
Okay.
But then I was kicked out anyway. So that made me more angry.
Yeah.
And I was on my own, you know, living with friends, working, renting a room, whatever. Eventually, you know, I did dive into drugs and alcohol.
Okay. This is still in version one, though?
This is still version one, okay. Yeah. So version one, met a man, moved to Seattle. Everything got crazy.
I mean, because you were drinking and using, or like you were kicked out? And
yeah, I mean, I was on my own. I was young.
Yeah.
You know, young, making my own bad decisions. Nobody was watching me.
What'd you do for a living back then?
I worked wherever I could.
Okay.
So I worked, I had a lot of crazy jobs. I worked as a assistant booking agent for a booking agency. I was a rock and roll lifestyle. Okay. It was really cool. We booked national tours. I worked in like a lingerie sex shop.
Awesome.
I had a lot of crazy. I worked in a tattoo piercing studio.
Okay.
I did whatever I had to do, to make money.
In order to pay the rent.
Yep.
Yeah. And so you moved to Seattle for some guy.
Yeah. Well, we met in Salt Lake City.
Okay.
And he was everything I was looking for. So we just wanted to go somewhere else, somewhere different.
Right.
So I moved to Seattle and, moved into a bad situation right away.
I mean, with the guy or just like in a bad apartment?
In a bad place. Like okay. With the guy, the things with him were, I guess, okay, whatever. You know?
But it was like a rough neighborhood or something? Or?
Everybody in the house I moved into was using heroin.
Wow.
Yeah, everybody.
Yeah, that's like a crack house.
Yep.
Is that what it was? Would you? Wow.
Yep.
Why did you move in there?
Because I think he was living there or had lived there, and so we moved into a room there. And
God, that's just like so much sickness surrounding it.
Yeah. Within a few weeks, I developed abscesses all over my body, and I go to the hospital.
Abscesses because like how dirty it was there,
I think,
or because you were using needles?
I wasn't.
Wow.
Yeah. So I mean, I don't even know why I got them, but I went to the hospital. I mean, I had them all over my body, and they asked me if I was, you know, using IV drugs, and I said no, and they didn't believe me. But they were bad. They were really deep. They had to be, you know, lanced. And,
yeah, of course.
So we moved out of there. Shortly
good
after.
Good decision.
Yeah, right.
Good decision.
But I mean, life didn't get better. Yeah. my drug of choice was anything that sped me up and kept me going. I didn't want the party to stop.
Got it.
So
I was kind of that way too.
And back in like 2002, 2003, Seattle was a really, really, really fun place. I lived right on Capitol Hill, had an apartment right on Broadway. It was party all night long, every day.
Party central.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
That's
so
crazy.
So after a couple years, maybe 2 years, we had a conversation that was like, we have to leave or we're going to die.
Because the using got so bad?
Yeah.
Yep. Wow.
So
I mean, that's actually like a moment of clarity. You know,
yeah.
Like I don't know if people actually have that very often where you're like, we need to get out of this.
Yeah.
And actually collective two people, because you're talking about you and your boyfriend or whatever, right?
Yep.
Wow.
So we abandoned our apartment And we took everything we could and put it in my car, and we left.
Where'd you go?
We went to San Francisco.
God.
And
just as bad.
I know. We had the right mindset, but we didn't have the right direction.
Yeah.
So we kind of lived out of my car for a couple months in San Francisco. We stayed at a couple different places. I don't think that matters, but we stayed in a place on Treasure Island, and then another place in Oakland. And
before Oakland was cool.
Yeah. Right. Before Oakland was cool. When Oakland was really terrifying and
terrifying.
Scary.
Yeah.
So we had begun to clean up, but, you know, we were still falling into bad habits. And I think we were staying in a friend's house in Oakland. And not a friend, someone we had just met in a basement. But we were drinking or who knows what, doing who knows what, and got in a big fight. And I left. And I slept, like, on a bench in the street in downtown Oakland, and nothing happened to me. I was
a miracle.
Yep. I sobered up, came to the next day, found my way back, and I think I was in denial of just how bad that was. You know, like what had brought me to that situation,
right.
Also what could have happened, and but. You know, instinctually, it was like, we need to go somewhere where we have some support, where we know people who can look at us and watch us, and, you know, we're somewhere where we have to get better. So we moved back to Salt Lake City.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because that's like where family was.
Yeah, I had family there at the time.
And friends and connections and stuff like that.
Yeah. So at the time, I still had my mom and dad who were living in Salt Lake City. So we did move back there. And now I think this is where Sarah version 2 starts.
Okay.
So Sarah version 1, I think, you know, my rock bottom, I really believe, was like sleeping on the street in Oakland and nobody bothering me because, like, I was a person nobody wanted to look at.
Right.
You know?
It's almost like you're a homeless person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So we moved back to Salt Lake City. I get a job. He gets a job. Not the best jobs. We're still not, you know, we're still not the people we want to be. So I get a job in a strip club, and he gets a job like a bouncer or whatever.
Yeah. And you were dancing or whatever?
Yeah, but I didn't last long. I got pregnant.
Okay. Which maybe was a good thing.
It was a great thing. It's actually a miracle. It was a miracle that it happened at that time and no other time. So it forced me to get a better job. I got a good job with health insurance, you know, all benefits, full-time, paid well.
It like straightened you out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, were you sober though?
No.
Were you?
I was cleaner than I had ever been.
Okay.
But yeah, not sober.
Yeah.
But I got sober.
Yeah, I mean, you're about to have a baby. It's you better.
Yep. So yeah, Joey saved my life.
That's your son's name?
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah.
When was he born?
2005.
Awesome.
Yep.
And this is like right in the period of Sarah's second version coming to.
Yeah, I am. I'm in second version.
And you're basically like cleaning up your life, being more responsible.
Yep.
What age were you?
I had him when I was 24.
Okay.
Yep. So
tell me more about this stage.
I have a full-time job. I'm responsible. I'm clean. My ex and I, or Joey's father and I, were still together, but I was becoming a new person.
Yeah,
right? I'm on version 2, and he wasn't. So after a year, we split up. And
yeah, it's really hard to keep it together.
Mm-hmm.
Like when someone has gone through as much massive change, because it's a huge thing to, like, you know, clean up your life and sober up and stuff like that.
Yep. So we split after a year, and I stayed in Salt Lake City for another year. But my parents had actually moved when I was a few months pregnant. They took off and they moved to retire out in Michigan.
Okay.
So I was alone, single mom alone, working full time, taking my son to daycare, and living in an apartment by myself and with just Joey. And it was a lot. It was, you know, it became like,
I mean, being a mom and doing all that stuff.
To like an infant.
Dude,
so.
Tell me about it.
My dad, I hadn't had much contact with my parents since they kick me out. Mm-hmm. But my dad was like, move to Michigan. You can live in our house. You can go back to school. We can help you. And I said, okay.
Wow.
Yep.
What a freaking miracle.
Yep.
Jeez.
Yep. So,
and what year is this?
This is 2007.
Okay.
Yep.
I mean, so a lot of time has like kind of gone by, right?
Yep. I left their house in 99. So yeah. eight years or a while, whatever.
Does your parents' relationship mean a lot to you today?
Yeah, it does. It gets worse though. Okay. I mean, it doesn't get worse, but something happened. So,
okay.
Like the week that I moved back, or the week that I moved here, my dad got really sick.
Ah, jeez.
And turns out he had brain cancer. So.
Wow.
Yep.
I mean, but you moved back here right in the perfect time to like spend time with him.
Yep.
Did he know before he invited you?
Mm-mm. Nope. So.
Yeah, it's like a God thing.
Yep. So he was able to see me begin to straighten out my life. And I was able to help take care of him while he passed away.
And when was that?
He passed away September 23rd, 2009.
And how much time did you actually get to spend with him?
I moved here July 7th, 2007. So a little over 2 years.
About 2 years, yeah.
Yep. Yep. In that time, I was going back to school and taking care of him. So I know that...
It's hard to watch.
It's hard to watch, yeah.
It's hard to...
Yeah. Yeah.
It's hard to not get angry, too, when that kind of stuff happens, like, in our lives. Because I've had several family members that have, like, gone through sicknesses like that, and it's just like, man, it's just
heartbreaking. Yeah. Rather than be angry, I'm really happy that that it happened the way it did, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm so happy that I moved here to repair the relationship with my parents.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and everybody, it is unfortunate. It's very sad that he passed away like that.
But you were there to be supportive.
Yeah, yeah. So, when he passed away, I began to feel my own mortality. I think a lot of people
of course,
go through that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that's what happens. Serious.
So I wanted to become physically healthy, and I hired a personal trainer, and I started.
You're working out.
Yeah, I started running, and I started cycling, and then I met my. Then I met a person who shall not be named.
As you wish.
Yeah. And fell in love instantly. And he was a semi-pro cyclist. And my love for cycling and my love for him, it felt magical. So we raced our bikes all over the country, all over the world. It was pretty awesome.
That is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I see like on your Instagram from time to time, like mm-hmm. you're on your bike or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
What's the coolest place you went to?
Oh, there's so many. Oh my gosh, I don't know. There's so many. I have a hard time picking favorites just because I find things that I love about everywhere I've gone. But
yeah,
I mean, I brought my bike to France 10 times.
Oh, geez.
And I rode up almost all of the, I mean, not all of them, but like a ton of the mountains there. I rode my bike up and down. That's always epic. That never ceases to be amazing.
Yeah.
And then I've raced a mountain bike 100 miles in like many different states: Pennsylvania, Virginia, Michigan. I don't know. And they're all incredible.
Yeah. There's so much beauty in like mm-hmm. all of the places that you mentioned mm-hmm. for sure. Pennsylvania is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
West Virginia and that area is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So is this still version two?
Is this still version two?
Okay.
Yep.
So how do you switch from version two to version three?
Well, okay. So September 2017, I tear my hamstring.
Cycling.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. And it ends my cycling career. And
well, clearly not. I mean, I see you on your bike all the time.
Yeah, but
you
weren't
doing it like competitively.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I had 3 years of racing and cycling, I developed super muscle imbalances.
Yeah.
And my legs, near the end of it, before I tore my hamstring, it was just like chronically aching.
Yeah.
So I didn't even enjoy what I was doing anymore. So then it tore and I stopped racing. I was in denial that I tore it. Like, it went pop loud and I couldn't walk, but I was like, I'm fine.
Let's race some more.
I'll be fine in a couple days. But I wasn't. And I didn't go to the doctor for a couple months. And by then it was already starting to heal. And he was like, PT and stretch, you know.
Yeah.
But a few weeks after I tore my hamstring, my partner crashed really bad on his bike and knocked out a bunch of teeth. He had a lot of internal injuries. He was in the hospital for a long time. And our relationship had been pretty stressed for a few years up before that point.
Yeah.
So those two things happening, I lost my coping mechanism of riding my bike, and so did he.
Right.
And so everything came to a head, and he pretty much forced me to leave. He was my employer too. So in an instant, I lost my house, my relationship, my job.
Jeez.
My cycling career is all gone.
You were like super tied in.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. It was like 8 years at that point.
8 years in the relationship?
Yep.
Jeez.
So I lost it all.
Right.
And I lost my hope.
But you left.
I left.
Yeah.
Yep. And I left. I didn't have a choice. You know, I found out a bunch of things also that were incredibly painful. So I didn't handle it well. I ended up New Year's Eve in the hospital.
For what?
I tried to jump out of a moving car on the highway.
Okay.
Yep.
Whose car?
My ex.
Got it. Because you felt like it was dangerous or something to be in there?
I didn't feel it was dangerous. I was in a really bad place. And,
were you like trying to kill yourself?
I think, yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Or something. You know, I'm not sure. I was just I guess reached a point where I didn't care what happened.
Yeah, that's scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. As an addict myself, the worst thing that I can say is literally like, screw it, let's do it. You know, or like, and like all of a sudden you just kind of give up all of the things that you've worked for or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, scary place to be.
So January 1st, 2018, I'm in the hospital and, I think this is where version three starts.
Okay.
I don't have any choices but to go up.
Yeah.
To do something different.
Because emotionally it felt like that was a low point. So it was like an emotional bottom.
Yep, it was an emotional bottom. Yeah.
Where the other one was maybe emotional, but it was also like substance as well.
Yep.
Yeah, so substance abuse.
So I had to do something different, right?
Right.
My whole life had to change. So I got an apartment, I got a new job. Since I couldn't cycle anymore, I really wanted to pour myself into yoga, which I had enjoyed in the past, just didn't have the time to really do it. So I took yoga teacher training, and part of that was, 6 weeks of that was Ashtanga.
Yeah.
And I remember telling my teacher, I fucking hate this.
Yeah. I think when I first met you, you were like, I kind of hate this stuff, but I'm here because I want to learn some more and all that stuff. And I think that was maybe our first conversation.
Yeah. I didn't like it at all because I don't think I could escape.
Yeah.
You know, there's no loud music. There's
impossible to escape.
Right.
Like someone's, you know, peering into your soul too. It's like,
But in somewhere it hooked its claws into me, you know? And so yoga teacher training is over. I began to actually teach what I knew, right?
Ashtanga or just yoga?
Teach Ashtanga that I knew. So it was more of a short form. Yeah. That was what I was taught. But I began to teach it. I taught it at a cycling camp for women. They loved it. I began to teach it at a bike shop, like every other week. And so part of my life was going really well.
Yeah.
But also, unfortunately for me, I decided to give that relationship another try.
Okay.
But because this was a new person, I was, I think, becoming stronger and really more aware that like this wasn't working.
Yeah, because you were becoming a different person.
Yep.
Yeah.
Once again, I'm changing.
Yeah.
And this thing isn't.
Yeah.
So eventually, I had to end that relationship. It wasn't healthy. It wasn't.
Right.
It wasn't growing in a good way. I had to end it. When I ended it, I had to stop teaching at the bike shop because he was my connection to that bike shop.
Right.
But it also, it ended pretty bad.
Why do you laugh after you say that?
Because it's been one of the craziest things that I've ever been through. It's been one of the hardest things that I've ever been through.
Breaking up with him, or there something else?
What happened after I broke up with him? Yeah, he began to like threaten my life and stalk me.
Like on a frequent basis?
On a 24/7 basis almost. So we went on vacation to France and came home, and I knew right away, well, I knew when we were in France that I had to leave.
Right.
Because some bad things happened. So when we get home, I tell him, I'm like, this isn't working. We need to break up. We need to, you know, do something else. And he wasn't listening or wasn't hearing me or wasn't accepting it. But I kept saying, like, this is over. We need to do something else. So I began to date. And he found out when I was gone one night from my apartment. And he broke into my apartment and stole like many thousands of dollars worth of my stuff.
Jeez.
Just took it all. And then things...
Just to hurt you.
Just to hurt me.
Yeah.
Yeah, just to make my life more difficult. Took so many things. Took like snow tires. Took like a bike, a computer. Yeah, I mean, just things.
It's crazy.
Yep. And then it got worse. So I filed a police report on that.
Of course.
The next day, my tires were slashed. Filed a police report on that. He had been putting boxes of things like on my stoop at my apartment, like some of my things that were left at his place, like trash, right? But he'd box them up and put them there. I'd see him walking through my neighborhood as I'm leaving for work. I'd see him at the grocery store.
Like he just wanted you to see him?
Yep. Yep.
Wow. Stalkers are so crazy.
Yep.
You know, like I've battled my own for, you know, like a long time too. And it's just like they're, you know, they want attention from us and they want to, you know, be seen and heard and empathized with, and it's crazy behavior.
Yep.
Yeah, me and my wife have dealt with some crazy stuff with it too.
It's tough. It's really tough.
It is. I mean, because they try and be psychological. It's like you just have to basically figure out a way to block it out and not pay any attention to it.
He was trying to say that he was just trying to save the relationship, but clearly not. You know, he was trying to hurt
Seeing
me.
All those, like it's insane.
So, so anyway, this continues for a long time. I see him everywhere. Everywhere I go, I see him.
Like for a year or for months?
Oh, only for a couple months because a detective with the police department contacted me, and she's like, "Hey, I see what's happening to you. This is stalking. Let's collect everything, and we'll get a case together." So she was a miracle.
Yeah.
She came to me and was like, "This is what's happening to you. I need you to do these things so that we can build a case."
Yeah.
And so I did, and she was able to charge him with a misdemeanor, and that should have stopped him.
Right.
But it didn't. It got a lot worse.
But then there's consequences to breaking.
But then there's
stuff.
Big consequences. So eventually he got charged with a felony.
Wow.
Yep. A felony or aggravated stalking.
I mean, how scared were you at points? Like, because, I mean, yours is like, obviously, like, the, you know, there's a guy wandering around the neighborhood and stuff.
I thought I might die at points.
Because he was going to kill you?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah. So I had asked people, like, if you don't see me for a certain amount of time, raise some questions, you know, go looking for me. Like, if you don't find me, you know who did it,
Jesus.
You know? Yeah.
That's
to
crazy.
To say that is crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But, it's over. He pled guilty.
Hell yeah.
Yep. He pled guilty. And he pled guilty to avoid jail time. He was looking at jail time. But he is, he's been sentenced to 5 years with a GPS tether.
Okay.
So
they know where he's at all the time.
Yep.
And if he enters in a radius of whatever, then you're, the police are probably alerted or whatever.
But, yeah, so that's over. So Ashtanga came in to play right when I was breaking up with him.
God.
Almost.
Like, what perfect timing.
Like, insane perfect timing. Like, you came to Ann Arbor to do a workshop, and I think we had, like, I hate this. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know why I'm here.
And you also told me that you don't like half or Lotus or half Lotus.
Yeah.
And I think you also told me that you don't ever want to do a back bend. Which, of course, you're the person that I called up to do back bends, if I remember right.
Yeah. And then you had mentioned the trauma and addiction forum.
Yeah.
And so I came down for that. And I'm in the midst of the stalking at that point.
Jeez.
And that's when I developed my practice.
Wow.
It's really when I started it, after that or during that. So it's been a daily thing, you know, increasing from, you know, 3 to 4 to now 6 days a week.
What's it mean to you today? Could you live without it?
No, because when I go, you know, 2 or 3 days because of a moon day and a rest day and maybe a sick day or whatever, I feel weird. You know,
how it, so? Tell me about it.
It's what centers me. It really grounds me. I feel like my whole life has been a bunch of extremes.
Yeah.
You know, super high, super low, super awesome, super terrible.
Has it helped you deal with the trauma of having like
it
a
helps me deal with
stalker?
Everything, everyday life. It helps me be comfortable with who I am. You know, just like who I am on a daily basis, just normal Sarah. I don't have to be, you know, super extreme in any way. It helps me be calm and rational. It helps me be empathetic to other people who are struggling. Like, you know, because everybody's dealing with crazy shit. It just grounds me.
How much shift and change have you experienced since the first time I met you?
I'm a whole new person.
Version 3.
Version 3
is the best version ever.
Yep. Got to keep getting better. So.
Yeah. Do you, you have different likes and interests and stuff like that because of like how it shifted or has it like redeveloped some older ones?
I think it's that's a good question. I'm not sure. New likes.
Is it making things like different areas of your life grow that you didn't think that were possible?
I've always wanted to be less reactive to situations. I've always struggled with that. I've always kind of flown off the handles or disappeared. And for me, it really helps my emotional state. So it really helps me just to be non-reactive, to listen, to accept things, to sit with, you know, discomfort and uncomfortable places. It has helped me with the trauma, for sure. I think the breathing, the moving, the whole science behind yoga.
Yeah.
Also having something to work towards, you know, it really holds me in the right place. Yeah. I've told some people have, I mean, a lot of people have noticed a shift in my personality. They've said, you know, if I had an ounce of the dedication that you have, I could do anything I wanted to. And I'm like, well, there's a secret, you know, like I do this thing every day and it keeps me out of the gutter. Right. They're like, what do you mean? And I'm like, well, I get up at like, you know, 4:30 and I do this thing and I have to go to bed at a certain time.
Yeah.
So right there, you know, I can't be, you know, doing crazy things all night.
The discipline, it means so much.
It does.
It?
Yep.
Jeez.
Yep.
Like people are like, oh yeah, but discipline is so strangling or it feels so like, you know, restrictive or whatever. And of course, I mean, that's what discipline is to mm-hmm. a certain level, but it gives you so much freedom in, yep. in different areas.
Absolutely.
Just because like we have this dedicated space to like take care of ourselves. Mm-hmm. I think more people need to have it.
I think so too. Yeah. I've given for Christmas, I've given out yoga mats and Ashtanga books to some of my friends who I think, you know,
that's a not so subtle way of being yeah, like, you need I mean, to bring even your ass to class.
Even if they do like, you know, five sun A's and five sun B's. It's the breathing and the moving, and it's a meditative practice. You know, they'll find peace through that, maybe, yeah. hopefully.
Yeah.
I know I'm finding it.
Yeah. It's freaking beautiful. I mean, also, like, you know, I've got to see some of, like, the most amazing growth, like, with, like, your practice. You know, I remember you telling me that you never wanted to do back bends, and now you're dropping back and standing up. And now you're doing second series poses. And it really hasn't been a long time, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you've gone through, like, a major shifts. And maybe it's because partly, like, you know, you've dumped a lot of heavy things,
mm-hmm.
you know, like trauma or, you know, just shifted things in your life. And it's pretty powerful to watch. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're dedicated. I mean, it's mm-hmm. it's awesome. I never thought in a million years, like, I was like, this girl's gonna, you know, be a student one day, you know, just because the first thing that you shared with me was like, I don't like any of this stuff. And you know what? But I can totally relate to that too. And you know why? Is because I didn't really like it either. I didn't. But I found the same exact things as what you found. Yeah. It was freaking awesome.
Yeah, it pulled me in.
Yeah.
I guess I needed it.
Yeah.
And the forces that are knew that I needed it, and here I am today.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so, so amazing. Well, I want to thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for sharing your story. I mean, those are obviously like some traumatic times or stressful times, to say the least. And, you know, like in a short period of time, you really become like a big part of the community, like, you know, coming, you know, to Columbus and, mm-hmm. you know, the other events and things like that, and just getting dialed in. And it's like, you're like a perfect fit. You're one of us.
Yeah. Yeah. The community is, it feels like home.
Yeah.
So
I'm super happy that you're involved in it.
Thank you.
It feels like it was meant to be, to be honest with you. So thanks for being on the Heartbreak Kids today.
Thank you.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in. If you want more information about Ashtanga Yoga, visit ashtangayogacolumbus.com. You can also check out my website, which is taylorhuntyoga.com. See you guys next time.